watch me while I sleep. Don't require your belief. Offering silence but no relief. Can you scream without a sound? Like the freeze that's coming down. Barren space where nothing grows. A secret place where no one goes.
You are listening to Chaos Springs Eternal, a Delta Green actual play. Delta Green, by its nature, deals with violent themes and disturbing imagery, as well as horrors beyond comprehension. Now, if you don't mind those things, I think you'll have a fun time listening. Join us, won't you? Hello, and welcome back to Chaos Springs Eternal presents Season 1, City of Woe.
Whoa.
So glad I was able to get through that. All right, well, this is going to be a little bit of a different episode. This is going to be a sort of a talkback episode. I'm going to give my players a chance to ask me some more questions and then maybe give a little bit of insight into where they want the rest of this campaign to go. If you're listening now and you're all caught up, you have officially listened to arc one of City of Woe. Start to finish, 24 episodes, basically the investigation of Florizon Manor and the banishing of Marguerite. That's the sort of big bullet points for that. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff in there that was not directly relevant to that, but that was because I was seeding lots of threads in the town and for the players for things that they may want to, you know, investigate more. There's obviously the fallout to deal with. That's going to be sort of, I imagine, number one on most people's plates, but I'm also willing to explore other things that they have interest in, because it would be really boring if it was just like one thread that they were following to the end and never got to do any little like side things. So I want to open up the floor to y'all right now and ask, do you have any questions about this first arc? Maybe lingering questions about the mystery that I might be able to answer? You know, if it's a case where it's like, oh, if I answered that, that's actually going to spoil something that takes place in the future, I'm just going to give sort of the Brandon Sanderson, like, read and find out, but it's play and find out.
How many episodes did you think it was going to take us?
10. I thought it was going to be 10 episodes.
I'm sorry.
That sounds right.
I'm kind of amazed that I had that response, but I did think it was about 10. I was like, okay, we'll have the intro. We'll have the, you know, manor investigation. We're obviously going to have a little distraction because I played with y'all before. And so at some point we'll have like a little bit of, you know, sidetracking downtime. Like, that was always planned, as I was get like at least a downtime in there. And then you'd have the, you know, actual exorcism part. Obviously there were a lot of things that I wasn't planning for. Like, I didn't really think that you'd get Clementine there. I didn't know how involved you'd get with Detective Marr. I didn't know when you would, I thought you would run into Glomus like way earlier.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your favorite distraction that we threw at you?
Oh, man. Well, obviously, Marcy's fall was not 100% planned that way. It was sort of, I had the moment of like, I really need a place to end this episode, and I really kind of want to make a threat to one of the players. And so it just happened to be like, I looked at the map, and I was like, Noah's right there. Why don't I just have Marguerite open up a hole in the floor? Because that's one thing that I think that's like a very poltergeisty type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I was like, well, why don't I do that? And so I did.
It seems like Noah's characters are always standing in the spot where we want to kill them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's easy.
It's easy. You're always standing like next to the bear trap.
It's that double-edged sword of like when you're playing on virtual tabletops, sometimes people kind of take their time moving their tokens. know, whether they're doing that, meta thing. Well, no, but like, no, you are moving them sort of like as you're doing stuff. Whereas other people are like, well, I do this stuff and then I'm going to move my token where I'm going to be. Right. But you tend to move it sort of alongside your playing.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
He's saying you do it right and we're stupid for not.
And so he punishes me for, I understand.
Punishes you for it.
Yeah.
Well, I give you the most interesting plot developments.
And that, that I fail all my roles on identifying.
Yeah.
Well, I got to say that that's better than one of our former table mates where they would just run around the entire building undoing the fog of war. And then you'd be like, what the fuck did you do? You opened every door in this map.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was always so pissed at them. It's just like, what is wrong with you?
I've learned that for at least Foundry, I lock every door.
Yeah, every door.
I lock every door before players can get to it.
Oh, that giant arch that you're going to walk through, it's fucking locked. I'm sorry.
It's a locked door, by the way.
It's a locked arch, you fuckers.
It's like a garage door when the shutter goes over.
It's got a piece of cellophane across it. It's locked. I want to know how long it took you to come up with the nursery rhymes.
Yes.
Oh, that didn't, I mean, I actually came up with those. So when I initially conceived of the plot of, like, you know, they go to a haunted manor, I was like, well, what's a way to set a spooky atmosphere? And I was like, well, why don't I just do like nursery rhymes? Like those, there's always ways to like, and I think part of me was, oh, what's that book that's like, A was for Aiden who died, you know, doing this. All the very macabre. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what book that is, but that's just like, that stuck out to me. And then also like Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark that are more of like kids, spooky things. And I think like, I didn't want to make it like graphic and gross, you know. I just wanted to give a few, both, you know, to sort of set the mood, but then also, you know, I laced those rhymes with sort of hints about what had happened.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which we finally figured out 20 episodes in.
Yup.
But that's okay. I'm hoping that there are things from some of these early episodes that you guys look back, you know, at the end of arc 3 or arc 4, and you're like, oh, that was from this. There aren't a ton of those. I think.
Understood.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we're idiots. Oh yeah.
We should have seen that.
He straight up told us this is who the villain is, and we just were just like, haha, that's funny, Dan. Ha-ha.
And they were roommates.
And they were roommates.
They were his roommate asking for mayo.
God, please don't.
No,
he asked for Miracle Whip. Difference.
He's going to be the final boss. He's going to be the final, the demon of Care 4.
I'm going to be the, yeah.
That's going to be the first time that Joel Bong hits King. A breaking point. He's going to do fight, and he's going to drive home and just kill Kian.
With the mayo jar.
Oh, thank you for Kian, by the way. He is very fun to play.
Yeah, I was like, and when I was sitting there trying to think of my bonds, which we've only really properly encountered two of them, being Clementine and Kian. And then we have a couple more who have been talked about and hinted at, but have not really shown up in any real way. Mm-hmm. I was like, I want to give the widest possible range that I think would be the most fun, both for this character to talk about and to talk to and interact with, and then for Dan just to fuck with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's something that we need to keep in mind too, as we're leeching sanity here, is that we have bonds that we can pass that shit off to.
I did it for the mayor one time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always forget that I just have these two little buffers here that I can destroy.
I have these two people I can totally alienate from my life.
I have been bad about reminding you, so as more strange stuff comes in.
Delta Green is kind of a crunchy system, though. That's not your fault. It's just a case of, like, there are a lot of options in the system that, in the midst of playing, aren't readily like, oh right, I can do X, Y, or Z. It's just like we're in.
Yeah, and I think part of it's just immersion, because you know part of the thing is like you run into, you know, whatever unnatural or violence or helplessness or whatever, and your instinct, I mean, as a person, is not to be like, well, I'm not going to deal with this right now. I'm going to ruin my relationships with my best friend because of this thing that I saw.
I just saw a dead body. I hate my dad.
Yeah. I mean, I think it does make sense. Like there's this general like, oh, you are changed now because of what you've witnessed. And so your interactions with other people kind of reflect that, you know, I do get that, but it's, again, it's not always my instinct.
Yeah, for sure.
It also didn't help our first game. We never fucking did it.
Yeah,
I was really mad about it back then, but y'all barely interacted with your bonds, so.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what my character's final sanity score was, but I know his willpower was like a solid 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were real low. I think you were under 20.
sorry, I just opened it up. I'm at... my maximum was 12. I was at 1 by the end of that.
No, that's right. Yeah, yep. Fucking crazy.
Good times.
I actually do have something I just want clarified real quick.
Sure.
About Marguerite.
Yes.
So
I will preface this by saying that there are at least 3 narratives about Marguerite in this first arc. From different perspectives, and so I'm happy to clear up any of the confusion from...
So how I'm interpreting it is that Sawyer summoned this thing, basically, to torment... oh my god, why am I blanking on
Colette's
names? Colette. Jesus Christ, Tyler. So Sawyer summoned this poltergeist, this thing that was not actually their daughter, to torment Colette. And then Colette basically brought that back to the manor and tried to trap it in there. Also at the same time, kind of giving Sawyer a taste of his own medicine.
Yeah. Yeah. That's actually, okay. I mean, I think that was sort of Colette's parting word, was trying to clarify that. But I think that was communicated well then.
Yes. That's, I just wanted like doubly sure to keep it straight, both in mine and in Joel's noggin.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, the Babineaus being sort of involved in some of this black magic is not something that, you know, being able to find that out was kind of big, because obviously it doesn't seem like they're still into that. So being able to explain sort of the downfall of the Babineaus as a reversal of this sort of poltergeist curse that Sawyer did, that was where that went. So sorry, I'm a little congested, so I have no idea if what I just said was like completely rambling or made sense.
No, you made sense.
Total sense.
The thing is that we don't know where Marguerite actually came from, right? Like we don't have a verified... That could have just been a ghost that they trapped in there, or it could have been something else.
Yeah. So some sort of, I mean, I think poltergeists are generally supposed to be like demons, right?
Yeah. So, but we don't have an origin for that demon.
No.
Yeah. We don't have
in any order record to do that. I think you'd have to like find what summoning, you know, he did.
Sure.
Maybe something like the Ars Goetia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or some other grimoire. I don't know if there's, you know, who knows? Maybe someone in town has a grimoire.
I wanted to ask you this. Were we going to be able to deal with the ghost situation in Florizon Manor without Luna? Did you have like a contingency plan if we were like, fuck esoteric bookstores?
So... Yeah, I mean, you didn't need the esoteric implements to actually hurt Marguerite.
Yeah.
What those did was they gave you a bonus to those to the unnatural rolls that you did. And so that as you rolled more and more in the natural, she became more like solid and real, but there were a handful of other ways that you could have done that. She didn't strictly need the implements, but without the implement effect, you know, like when you were hitting her with the Orgone, she, every time that she became more and more real, essentially her, for lack of a better term, she had like armor. And so part of your damage was not going through, and the more real she got, the more damage went through.
Okay.
And so those implements just sort of made that go faster.
Got it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
We just had really bad luck and weirdly timed luck.
Yes, both incredibly bad and good luck, I would say.
Yeah, okay. We had some good rolls that last time.
I think when I listened back, I think there were three critical successes in that fight.
Yeah. I guess I'm the only one who's curious about stuff?
No, I didn't know what to ask about for a second. I was
okay. You guys go. I feel like I've asked like three questions.
Was Detective Marr always kind of intended to be around with Glomis, or was that just kind of a way? Like, did he get roped into this by the way that we bumblefucked our way through it?
Yeah, Glomis probably would have preferred not to deal with Detective Marr, but I didn't see any way for him not to get involved with it because makes of sense. The body.
Yeah.
I was curious how much you would share with him about that. And so once the body was like confirmed, he was going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Because like that was, I thought about that ever since you said you anticipated us meeting Glomis like that early into this series. And just with how Detective Marr, I don't want to say felt like a side character at the time, or like when he was kind of first introduced, but like, I don't know. It felt like we kind of forced him into being a lot more important than he is.
Well, I'll say this. I kind of thought that, I knew you would run into Detective Marr in this first arc, and I'm not going to say he's like super important. I don't know exactly what specific role he'll play in the future, but I knew that he would be interacting with y'all because essentially he is, for lack of a better term, a synecdoche of the police force. Like, he's that part that represents the whole for your interaction. So
yeah,
he's the face of the police force for you. And rather than try and like list out a whole bunch of policemen that you might go into, I think it's a little easier to just sort of give you guys one contact.
Absolutely. Yeah. Speaking of the police force, I am curious what the fallout is going to be for Antoine's, partner who is currently in their custody right now.
No, like she's released.
Nope. She's got released.
She was released?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep,
how did I fucking misremember that? My bad.
Yeah. Right at the end of last episode,
Chelsea Wynn, you got the message from Detective Marr that she had been released.
God.
It was kind of manwiched in a bunch of jokes.
Yeah, there was a lot happening.
Yes.
There's a lot happening.
I was just worried about like the lack of psychiatric help we might be receiving if she was kiboshed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question. Obviously, there's a few threads from that I think y'all might want to explore. Are there any other like big threads that you think are going to be where you go next, or if you have more questions, also fine with that.
I think for at least Marcy, she's going to push for Joel to look more into the church. But that's Marcy.
Yeah, I think the two biggest things on Joel's mind right now, other than keeping the manor safe, is what is going on with that church? Or is it like a church thing? Is it a demonic thing? Is it just like he has some weird abilities and like that's just how they manifest? And the other big thing is we gotta figure out a way to get Antoine's body to be revealed. I guess it's not as big of a deal for us since Chelsea is free now.
Dump it out in a field and just be like, oh, wow, that's crazy. Oh.
Well, it's not even that. Just like, hey, Glomis, do something. Like, you can't, like, Detective Marr has to do something with it. Glomis, like, there has to be some kind of closure for the town.
Yeah.
Can Glomis do something with it?
I don't know. He does fucking magic.
So he does have the body. So whenever y'all want to figure out what to do about that. I also kind of have in the back of my head, if y'all don't do anything about that, Glomis and Detective Marr will figure out something to do. But
yeah,
it just depends on what you prioritize.
Yeah, we still don't know what killed Antoine.
No. It's true.
That's what I'm, that's honestly what I'm most curious about.
Okay.
Is what is going to happen now that the veil is down.
Yeah.
I'm curious as to, are those entities are going to get more? Yeah. I don't know.
I hate that I can't tell whether Dan was joking about it, like, oh yeah, you know, a zombie uprising in Carrefour, that'd be crazy. Looks at,
I didn't say Dan's zombie. I said army of the dead.
Oh, okay. So just the Necronomicon being unleashed in Carrefour. Dan Googling graveyard plot maps. Or the other thing that was that we fucking chanced upon in, or not chanced upon, that we encountered in the upper section of the Carrefour Manor, or Floriza Manor, that chest that transported us elsewhere.
Yes. No, wasn't it less, we got transported, but things were replaced?
Yeah.
Well, when I said that, that was the mode of transportation, right? You didn't feel like you were moving. It was just like everything changed.
Oh, okay.
So.
Okay, I get what you're saying. That was just.
Okay. Yeah. So I know where that is, obviously. But right now, I'm just going to call it the other place.
Yeah. So we did go, air quote, somewhere else, but it's just, it felt like it, for the visuals, something dropped out and was replaced by something else sliding in.
Yes.
Okay. Now I got that. Yeah. All right.
I think I'm going to have Marcy get into some occult bullshit and just try looking up stuff with that.
That'll be interesting to see, because, you know, Marcy's ability to research stuff has been either really, really good or just like not nothing.
Non-existent.
she's very swing or miss.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean, it's mostly miss is what it feels like.
Yeah. Well, you do have a standing invitation from Luna to join the coven.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That could be interesting.
We've all got a hook up with Luna. Hey.
Wow.
One way or another. Joel's got to learn some magic, and Cyril's going to learn some magic of a different kind, and
Cyril's going to show some magic.
And this is where the magic happens, and it's just it's the corner of Cyril's room where he has the Orgrite.
Where the magic happens. We have to do it in front of Marguerite.
We have to do it.
No. She likes to watch.
She likes it.
This fucked up demon. I'm torturing it by exposure to humans.
And it's the Orgonite, and it's dressed as a clown.
What the fuck? Oh my god!
Lipstick on it.
Huh. Oh. I just imagine like on a clown, but the Orgonite is the clown nose. Yeah,
that's even better.
So I want to share one thing that I was kind of, and I think I maybe even like said this out loud, but I was kind of surprised that for like the exorcism part, you guys didn't like go the Ouija board and candles and those sorts of things. Like, that's what I thought. So I thought you guys were going to like have some of that stuff. And when it was clear to me that like, that was not in your, in your sort of bag of ideas, that's where I was kind of like dropping the, you know, Luna, ethereal essence form stuff. And I was like, well, maybe you should go over there just in case you need like a list of things that might be good to bring.
Hey, players, you need to have something. Going in there with nothing is going to fuck you up.
Right. Well, I guess the reason I don't think we went that route is because I don't think it was expedient. Like, yeah. I think I felt more like on a timeline, like we had to get this done.
Yeah.
And so brute force was kind of the way to go.
I'm just dumb and never thought about it.
I definitely did. I was in the same boat as Tyler with that regard, but I also felt like I don't think Marguerite is going to allow us to sit there and perform a seance in the manor uninterrupted.
Yeah.
That shit would have been rad, though. Salt it circle, been, Ouija it board been in really the middle, cool. Shit getting thrown at us.
Yeah.
So
wax everywhere.
I would say I don't know how much I want to say here. It could have worked. I think I would have been willing to make it work because obviously she hadn't like physically attacked any of you prior to that point.
Okay, Dan.
That was not her physically attacking you, though. That was her manipulating parts of the house.
So if I were to come up behind you and push you down a hole, I wouldn't be charged with assault? She just
created the hole.
Yeah.
Okay, so I need to go into your home and cut a thing to the basement.
Right. If you went full Roadrunner and Coyote on him.
But
I'm going to paint I guess
my point is that y'all had been in that house for a while.
We did, yeah.
And she didn't ever confront and attack you.
Well, who threw the chandelier?
That was her. Yeah.
Oh, so.
So I did. Maybe I lied a little bit. Okay.
You mean the chandelier was embedded in the wall?
Maybe she threw one real hard punch.
Maybe she threw one chandelier. Everyone's allowed one chandelier.
There is a reason behind that, though. The reason that she didn't straight up come in and bite your head off is because prior to her possession of Clementine, she was still mostly bound into the house. It was only that little possessing that she did, which she could only do because Clementine was partially possessed by Colette as well. Anyways, I had in my mind
that's what that hand was.
Yeah. So that hand was Colette sort of connecting with Clementine because they are both in the coven. And that allowed her to get a little bit of freedom, but it also opened a little gateway for Marguerite to get a little more physical.
Okay.
There is some thought behind all of that. I know I make up a lot of stuff on the fly, but not all of it.
Listen, it's only 90% made up. Were the rats in the basement also Marguerite, or is that some other fucking crazy thing going on?
That was just, the house is a spooky place. I had another encounter in the house that I wrote that was because I was like, oh, what if there's a swarm of rats in one place and like a giant rat in another place? And
Jesus Christ,
my plan was to just put the giant rat in the kitchen, but y'all never went in the kitchen until the very end. And I was like, well, I'm not just going to have a giant rat encounter before the ghost. That would be boring to me. So
I got a question, and maybe this was answered. I don't remember. But the scratches on the crown molding of the floor, what created those?
Those were the rats.
So it wasn't I was under the impression that
I might have had
somebody claws, four fingers, scraped into the side.
Let me see. Do I have it in my notes? Okay, I had that as a that was supposed to be foreshadowing for the giant rat.
And that he was curious.
He had scratches in the baseboards because obviously, if a giant rat, it's got some magical influence.
Sure.
And since there's that portal that Glomus was using to sort of get into this side, thing, the rat was aware that there was something there.
Ooh. Yeah.
But
that makes sense.
Yeah, that didn't pan out.
Any plans for a faction of rats? There's a faction of ghouls and coven and
Skaven. I don't know. Would you guys like some magical animals?
Skaven.
That'd be fun.
Okay.
Not against it.
Listen, we are in Louisiana. If there's not a talking
mule?
Creole gator, I'm going to be mad.
Okay. All right.
Creole gator. That's your task for next time.
Yeah, he's got to be like, not big crocodile in my gator.
Give me the gator. I'm just a simple country gator.
I didn't cut your leg off.
I need to get this rubber band off my mouth. I can't open it too big.
No, don't put your hand on my nose. Oh. No, I can't talk.
No, damn it.
And consider the entire state of Louisiana offended.
Yeah,
they weren't already.
Yeah, they're pretty riled up. Raging Cajuns.
Sorry, Louisiana. Sorry for displaying your whole state as cool with talking gators.
That's right. Yep.
Oh, also, did I mention that this gator is in a suit and he's smoking? Does that make it better?
Whoa. Cigarettes? What kind of long cigarette on the end of the staff?
Weed? He's smoking
the
weed.
Ganja?
He's in a bathing suit.
Yo. He's in a bathing suit.
He's in an old-timey bathing suit with the straw hat, and he's smoking a joint.
Hot smoking gator in a bathing suit.
He's vaping.
He's lame. He's lame now.
He's getting one hitter.
He's blowing clouds.
Have you ever heard of 2016 cotton lung? Is that what it's called, or is popcorn it popcorn lung? Lung? Thank you. Popcorn lung. Okay.
Boy, there's no good way to shorten vaping gator into either vager or gaper.
I like the last one more.
Nope, that's bad. That's a bad one.
So were there any other weird things other than the giant gator? Or something? Fuck me. The giant
the
rat.
Gaper?
The gaper.
The gaper?
Other than the giant rat, the swarm of rats, and Glomus, Marguerite, Colette. Were there other encounters in here? Because we only explored like what feels like one third of this building.
So what I was gonna do if y'all hadn't gone to the Ethereal Essence Emporium, I was going to port a lot of sort of the history of the Babinos into journals or maybe like a little haunt or something like that in here. That was something that I played around with. But y'all seem kind of like spooked by the whole manor. And so like at times I felt like I was inviting you to like check into this room, and then y'all be like, well, let's go talk with Detective Marr outside now. I was just like, oh, okay.
Well, when you make a spooky manor.
Yeah, I know. It's a little bit of like, I can't make it too spooky, or otherwise you guys won't go in there because you fear your character's lives.
Yeah, our characters have rational human thoughts occasionally.
Okay, but I do want you to look at your sanity scores and start thinking about, what is my actual reflection of sort of reality.
I understand that. My sanity's still high enough where I'm not like, I don't think Joel's going to be doing crazy shit yet.
Okay, all right.
I think I'm like not far from my max, or like what I started at in terms of sanity. Like after that first break, I think she just like bounced back.
Right, so I gotta start being more mean about.
No, fuck us up. Yeah, no, I'm nodding. I'm agreeing.
Okay, all right.
Hit us with that gaper.
Oh, geez.
Gaper's a 1d20 sanity loss.
Yeah,
I see.
My mind.
A vaping gator skating down Main Street, Care 4.
Skating down. He has like some rollerblades. He's on four rollerblades.
I had a skateboard.
No, yeah, like he's just got it on his feet and his hands just horizontal.
Oh my gosh. Can this be our first fan art, please?
Yes, please. If you have any artistic talent, please draw the vaping gator.
So for the inevitable artist that's listening to this, that was a giant talking gator in a Creole accent with a straw hat and a bathing suit vaping down Main Street in rollerblades.
Yes.
Yes. Please draw the Cajun accent.
Yeah, screaming, draw the Cajun accent.
Draw the Cajun accent. And he's screaming Rancho Cucamonga.
Yeah, as he speaks, shrimp gumbo just falls out of his mouth.
I thought you were gonna say falls out of his pockets.
out of the pockets of his alligator bathing suit.
Okay, well,
What's some other aspect of the campaign that you thought we were going to touch on more, but then we just completely missed?
Other than the manor.
Yeah. Taking 14 episodes too long to accomplish something.
The manor was big. I really, honestly, I thought you guys would go back to the pastor after the ghost stuff. Like, the pastor is not supposed to be someone you dislike. I don't know why that's how it worked out.
That's my fault.
But I was very ready to have y'all, like, I thought, you know, either like consult with the pastor or maybe invite him to go with you. You know, that's one thing that I definitely thought. What, anything else?
I thought about the whole, like, bringing the pastor with us, but especially since, you know, we have that geisha and with Glomus and everything, that's just one extra person too close to something that we actively have to keep people away from.
Yeah.
And then also, whatever the fuck that thing was that I saw, definitely doesn't help.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting thing to look at, and obviously, you know, Glomus will look into it in time.
Oh, I remember the other thing I was going to ask.
We just come back and Glomus is just dead, and it's like, oh no, oh no.
And the pastor is just like, well, hi there, everybody. This is a nice little house I found. How was it
set up a parish out here?
Was it that Antoine was described as dressing eccentric as well, or was it just that he acted eccentric?
I think he mostly acted as eccentric. I think I described him wearing a seersucker suit a couple times.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Just the last thing I thought about last sesh was the like pastels that you described of the guy in the Jeep.
Yes.
And like, I knew obviously it wasn't Antoine, but like I thought there might have been connections there that we hadn't made yet, but that makes more sense.
Okay. Yeah. No. In case you, since you already know his identity, that's Ezra Blackburn.
Ezra Blackburn.
You don't know like who he is still, except that he drove the pink Jeep.
What?
Yeah, that's the detective told you who he was.
Yeah.
So that'll be an interesting thread for you eventually to
figure out who tried to kill me.
I was surprised that y'all didn't. I will say this: I was surprised you didn't like pursue it further right away. But
I'm going to be honest. Had
pressing issues, so I kind of get
we
it.
We did spend 15 episodes wondering who hit us and tried to hit us in a pink Jeep, and then we found out and we were like, "Oh, that's cool." Off to other things.
It's we kind of had to deal with a ghost that stole someone's sister.
It reminds me of the episode. Oh gosh, which cartoon was it? The superheroes where, you know, they switch bodies with everybody, the good guys and bad guys, and I think it's Lex Luthor's in Quantum the Leap body. And he pulls off the mask and he's like, I'm finally going to figure out who you are. He pulls off the mask and he's like, I have no idea.
I don't know who the fuck this is.
the smile and then immediately fades into just disdain.
Yeah.
I can't do anything with this. Who the fuck?
Yeah. That's one of my favorite episodes from the Justice League Unlimited series. Yeah.
Thank you. Justice League Unlimited. That is. Yeah. That's a good episode.
Yeah.
Good series.
I would also like to clarify for the group and also for the listeners. In that very first episode when Marcy almost got hit by the Jeep, I legitimately didn't realize that like anyone other than Marcy was there for that incident. For the first half hour of that recording until you're like until Dan was just like, all right, I was just gonna acknowledge that their homie almost got hit by a Jeep. That's weird.
I mean, I think I opened with, like, you guys are on the south side of the road and you're about to cross.
Listen, absolutely. I didn't say that it was your fault. I just said I didn't realize.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's fair. Hey, you know.
I recognize I'm at fault here, but.
I do appreciate when you go back and listen and point things out. That's always nice.
One thread I'm interested in pulling on just a little bit is, the mayor had a meeting with my uncle, the judge, that he was really worried about.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. And I'm curious as to what's going on there a little bit. It could just be something completely bland, but he seemed pretty worked up about it.
I mean, come on, that's pretty salacious. I wouldn't put something that tasty in. And
yeah, not I know. Salted, I, are you? I know. It could just be like he, you know, forgot to pay his income taxes or, you know, something stupid like that. But it's just like,
are we still going?
I
was
like, hey, I never know with these things.
Golf?
That is an interesting one. I don't know how you will get the information about what that meeting was about. But there are obviously ways, whether you discuss it directly with your uncle or whether you discuss it with the mayor. Obviously, you know, the mayor pulled Cyril aside and was like, hey, do you have any idea what this could be about?
Right.
So you could go back to the mayor and be like, hey, by the way, what was that dinner about? You know, that you have, or you could ask your uncle. You could, you know, there's a handful of things that you could do to figure that out. And I'll be curious. Yeah. You know, I imagine that we'll have a little bit of, but my, I'm not going to get back into like every, you know, a day by day thing quite yet. For this next sort of downtime experience, it's going to be a little bit longer term. Unless we like really find a lead that we want to, you know, push on.
Yeah.
I'm open to, you know, a couple days a week or so of like, what's the general holding pattern?
Well, in terms of Cyril, that is a thread that I would like to explore just a little bit. I'd like to deal with what happened to Antoine, because I think that's Cyril is now fully involved in this, but he will also protect the manor as much as needs to be protected, I suppose. But then I think also Cyril is going to kind of revel in the fact that they did it and take advantage of the things that come along with just a little bit of fame, just a little bit of 15 minutes of fame. I think he will take full advantage of all of the stuff that happens with that when he can.
Oh, I bet he's looking forward to the groupies.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
God.
Not to put too fine a point on it.
Well, I will say this. I think I dropped in one of the end of like maybe the episode 23, sort of the post credits. I was like, hey, by the way, if you have NPC ideas, send them to me, because we're about to have a lot of potential NPC interactions. So I will say that there will be a lot of people coming to care for.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's the world's first confirmed ghost sighting.
Yeah.
True.
So
totally legit confirmed, yeah.
Obviously, you know, there's always going to be the people who are like, oh, no, this is CGI. But I think Carefor has not, I mean, it's been on the map before, obviously, because of this sort of general history of the town, but it's not been like a super touristy place.
Yeah.
I did have this image, and I can't remember, I think it's from where you said that the ward broke, and I had this image in my head of, oh gosh, this is so old, but Bleach, when they break the like seal to like attract all the hollows.
Oh,
that's immediately what I thought of, where they were like, oh, we're gonna do this and it's gonna summon this huge hollow that they're gonna have to defeat. And that's immediately what I thought. I was like, oh great, now everything that's been pushed out for so long is gonna start flooding in. Yeah,
interesting. Yeah, I mean, I haven't described most of the like mechanics behind the ward, but I'll say it's not so much that it's like I think Tyler said it was like the Iron Dome, which is kind of, yep, but it's almost more like cloaking. So it both prevents things from, you know, entering, but it also sort of obscures the existence of, so that it's not like you have a big, again, like, not to be like literal, but it's not like there's an army of, you know, undead surrounding the ward and they're just sort of like waiting for entry. It's like they wouldn't even be aware of Carefor really as a place.
That's cool.
It would be like how most people think of like Oklahoma City. It's like, well, yeah, I know it exists, but you know, it's not like I'm gonna go out of my way.
Yo, is this place always been right here?
And
damn,
I lived in Edmond. I lived in Edmond, and I love Oklahoma City, but like, Oklahoma City is not like a tourist town, right? People aren't
right.
People don't typically go out of their way to go to Oklahoma City.
It's a good city, but there's nothing there to go to for, really.
Great city, and it does have great things in it, but it's like those are good things to do on top of whatever reason you're already going there. I feel like I have just really offended all my Oklahoma City friends.
I was just like, I love Oklahoma City, killing all the states.
I love Oklahoma City, but like, yeah.
Fuck you, Pennsylvania, you're next.
It's the metaphysical equivalent of a flyover state. That's what the ward essentially did.
As a Hoosier, I feel very looked at right now. Well, seen.
I mean, yeah, it is a flyover state. So.
Yeah, literally. I think for me, both as a player and in character, I think the big thing is that I want to really harp on in this next arc, obviously depending on what kind of shows up, is Ezra and the pink Jeep, and also the priest, for sure. I think those are the big two that are harping on Joel's mind and my brain. I think those are the two biggest connections that we should, or that Joel will try to definitely work towards.
Okay.
We don't really, I mean, Antoine's body is important because there needs to be a closure there, but I think the biggest thing for him was getting Chelsea out, and Chelsea's free now, so like that's less of an issue for him now.
I had, by the way, Noah.
Hmm?
I had like a breakthrough, I guess you could say, in terms of what the story is going on with Barnabas.
Yeah.
I know I've been sort of like hinting at something weird going on, and Marcy's.
Yeah, and I failed all my roles and like, nothing's wrong with my uncle. He's perfectly fine.
Again, prior to now, I've just been sort of vague and like, I didn't even know a ton of what was going on, but I sort of like, I was like, oh, I know what's up.
Hell
this
yeah.
All makes sense. And so,
okay.
Whenever, you know, that's again, he has sort of, he's doing something and he does want you to be there, but it's possible that the incoming influx of people will throw some wrenches in that plan.
Oh boy. Oh boy. I'm excited. I'm excited for whatever you throw at us next session and that next arc in general.
Yeah. I think I have. Okay. After talking with everyone, I gotta sort of prioritize what I think this next arc will be, and then
yeah,
that way I can organize things and hopefully draw a strong thread through the sort of main thing, and then have all the side stuff kind of tie back into it. Mm-hmm. Any other questions that you have?
What is the meaning of life?
Nope, not answering that one.
Fuck.
We'll get him next
I time. Do know it, but yeah. I'm just not sharing it with y'all.
Now that's extra rude. Hold on. No, I think all the questions that I had have either been answered either, you know, through this conversation or naturally through the game, or they don't exist yet. Yeah. Is the other thing.
And I guess to be fair, y'all also can pretty easily tell like what is still coming in the future versus what are sort of like the, obviously, you know, I'll say this for the whole Marguerite mystery, it was always intended to be like a progressive, like, okay, there's some ghost. Okay. She is related somehow to Colette. Okay, what was Colette's deal? All right, Colette and Sawyer had a thing. Oh, maybe this is the ghost child. Okay, well, that doesn't really make sense because why is the ghost child like an 8-year-old girl and maybe died right away? So that was always intended to be like a progressive realization of what had happened. So hopefully some of these other mysteries are similarly progressively understood.
Yeah, I think you did a really good job of slowly kind of stretching out those revelations as well.
Yeah, and I you know, at times I wondered, like, oh, is this too repetitive from, like, an audio standpoint? But I think listening back, I think it was handled pretty okay.
I think every time that something that it came back up, there it was from another perspective, so something got added on, whether it be, you know, like, hearsay or actual proper, like, truth. And, you know, that's really fun from a player's perspective, and also listening to these as they're coming out, being able to, like, listen to it and connect those threads as a listener, because I forget everything if the notes are not immediately in front of me. So it feels like I'm re-remembering and relearning what happens as I listen along. So I think it did a pretty good job with it. I think you did a good job.
Okay. Good, good. I agree. Well, I think that will ramp things up for the talk back. I guess let me ask one more question. What's, aside from obviously the vaping alligator on rollerblades, what is one more thing that you hope to see in this campaign, whether in this next arc or just eventually?
Evil Dead moment. Not even gonna lie.
Okay, Evil Dead moment. There were several movies involved in the Evil Dead franchise and a TV show. So
yeah,
which
are you pick talking? The pick Chain the best one, Dan. Arm? Yeah, pick the best one, Dan.
Okay, all right. This is my
book. If it's gonna be a Chainsaw Arm, I volunteer's tribute.
All right.
It is significantly less in the Eldritch side of the story, but I really am excited to see how you bring Ivy into the story, and being able to see the interaction of these two individuals who are very not good for each other. And I think that will be very fun, and I'm very excited to get that involved in the game and also for the role play.
Mark, you got something?
Can you redo the entire Horus conspiracy or the Horus heresy from
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah,
I'd really love it if we got to that kind of level of detail.
Okay, all right.
I will. No, I don't.
It all started on Ulanor.
I think that the thing that I want to see the most going forward is I want to see how crazy the fallout can get.
Yes.
From what happens here, like Evil Dead moment, great, but like. How crazy can we really push this to, like, where the whole town is just aflame with, riddled with, you know, whatever kind of eldritch nonsense you can come up with?
The proverbial occult Eye of Sauron has turned its eye to this town, and just a horde of chaos is unleashed upon it.
Yeah, and it doesn't need to be, like, huge chaos. Like, we don't need to have, you know,
Sasquatch Hastur show Duncan up or Donuts. Anything,
but like, yeah, just like, I just am curious, like, how it's going to affect the town as a whole in terms of like murder rate and, you know, things of those natures as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious to see how that affects what happens there.
Well, then that might be a good way to end this episode, because the beginning, we always introduce this as, you know, this is season one of Chaos Rings Eternal. The name of this season is City of Woe. And this is really where it becomes the City of Woe. This was,
right.
The ward coming down was sort of always unknown.
Sure.
And so we're about to see why we call it City of Woe. Thank you for tuning in this week to Quartermasters of the Tabletop Presents Chaos Springs Eternal. This is the Season 1, City of Woe. Sorry for my voice. I was at the Alamo Bowl, and I yelled a lot. I won't tell you which team I was supporting, but I had plenty of reasons to yell. So, join us next week as we get back into the story, assuming that we can
get caught up with editing and recording. Holidays have been, you know, a little fall behind, but I've got a lot planned, and I really enjoyed the talk back, the chance for, you know, players to sort of give their feedback, and hopefully you enjoyed a little bit of the behind the scenes. And if you have any questions, make sure you shoot us a message. Our Gmail should be in the show notes, and send us any sort of feedback that you'd like. And if you have an idea for an NPC to bring to Care For, please go ahead and check that out. Also, check out our Twitter. I recently posted the map that we got commissioned of Care For from Eldritch Dream, at Eldritch Dream on Twitter. Definitely check it out. It's pretty cool, I think. So, all right, we'll see you next week.
Penis.
Hello and welcome back to... Hello and Schlong. Welcome back. Hello
Johnson.
And
welcome.
Hello
and Johnson. Welcome back. Oh wait, no, you already used that one.
Schween.
Okay, go ahead, Dan.
Hello and welcome back to Chaos Brings Eternal. I muted you.